The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program with one of my favorite guests when I am lucky enough to guest host. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter. David Drucker, Washington Examiner, senior political reporter, and noted fashion plate. David, you are always the best dressed guy in the room when I see you around at CPAC and elsewhere. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Kurt. Thank you very much.
David, let's get right into it. I have a full board of calls here. I have seen so much intense and unyielding anger among people at what the FBI did. It's not transitory. It's not superficial. It is deep. It is all-consuming. These people are furious because they believe their Constitution has been betrayed. Do the people inside the Beltway have any conception of just how angry people are in response to this Mar-a-Lago warrant nonsense?
Well, I'm not sure if people... I think the question that people... I think what people inside the Beltway are trying to figure out, and your question is a very valid question. I think what people are trying to figure out is who is angry, where are they, and who's happy, and where are they? And when you put all those together into a voting electorate in the midterm elections, how does that shake out? I am not at all surprised that Republican voters, or voters who tend to vote Republican, or voters who vote as long as Trump's on the ballot, are upset about this. There are also a lot of Democratic voters who are not, or who have felt for, you know, almost 2 years that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, has been way too timid in dealing with Trump and other Republican malfeasance as they see it. And so whenever an event like this happens, I like to see how all of this shakes out. Often people inside the Beltway miss all sorts of things. So if they're missing this, if we're missing this, it wouldn't be the first time. But I don't think people are unaware. I just think people are trying to figure out how to put it together in such a combination that they can figure out whether or not it's going to affect the midterm elections and beyond.
Well, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner, I think we're getting some data points. We've seen the Minnesota and Wisconsin primary elections, Republican voters up, Democrats down. In Hawaii in the primary, a massive increase in Republican voters and a drop in Democrats. Now, the regime media story, the narrative is Joe Biden's back. He's got his aviator glasses. He's gotten 1/12 of what he asked for. That's practically the New Deal. He's back. He's not even falling off his bike anymore as he rides on the beach. And I think attempting to wish cast a guy with approval on par with monkeypox, I just think it's wishful thinking. What do you think?
Well, I too think that looking at the president's recent string of legislative accomplishments all in a row after several months of nothing, and concluding that the entire midterm election landscape has turned on its head is fanciful, because it's just not true. I mean, the president's approval ratings are still low. Democrats are still facing headwinds. And one of the reasons why I'm paying close attention to how the fallout from the raid shakes out politically is because Republican turnout in primaries was already up. And Democratic turnout in primaries was already either down or nowhere near as good as Republican. So the Democrats already face an enthusiasm gap. So it's not like they were riding high, and now all of a sudden we've seen this thing turned on its head. Democrats still face headwinds. The president's approval ratings are still low. And, you know, the only thing I can say that we do know is that some of these Republican Senate candidates are not raising the kind of money that they need to raise in the competitive races. And even still, some of them are going to win anyway. So I think your observation is apt. And I don't like to, you know, jump to conclusions. Republicans are, you know, still on track to win the House. And the question is by how much. They're still on track to win it. They're still in a good position to win the Senate, even though that seems a little less clear. But I haven't seen really much change in the midterm election landscape. Whether we look at it from the vantage point of Democrats started passing legislation and maybe Democrats feel better about the president. His big problem, of course, is Democrats are unhappy with him. Or from the vantage point of the raid. But again, I want to see it shake out, and then I will make a decision when I feel like I have enough information.
Well, David Drucker, Washington Examiner, senior political reporter, you're known as a straight shooter. Conservatives trust you. Liberals trust you. You talk to both. We've got about 30 seconds. What are you hearing from the Democrats about what they think is going to happen in November? Not what the narrative is, but what they think is going to happen. And the same question as for Republicans.
Democrats know that they face an uphill climb. They feel a little bit more optimistic right now about avoiding a complete wipeout than they did some weeks back. But you talk to Democrats who understand this thing, and they know they're still in trouble. Republicans, you know, they're still in the same position they were. And that is one where they think they should win.
Thank you, David Drucker of the Washington Examiner. Always great to have you when I guest host on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. I'm Kurt Schlechter. Stick around.
America, it's Hugh Hewitt. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm still not there. It's Tuesday. I'm still in Wyoming, and Kurt Schlechter is back for day two of the Schlechter Show. We don't want to really call it that. I don't want him to get any ideas. As it is, he's beginning to leave his clothes in the studio, and that worries me a little bit. There might be a coup someday. I think Generalissimo will be involved in it. But Colonel Kurt's actually got a new book out. You ought to get that. And thank you very much, Kurt, for taking over for me for a couple of days. Take it away.
And thank you, Hugh Hewitt. I am Kurt Schlechter. I'm the author of that book right back there behind me. You can see me on Salem Now. We'll be back. The Fall and Rise of America. I'm senior columnist at townhall.com, retired United States Army colonel, noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, and honored to being joined by a veteran of the United States Navy and currently the senator or a senator from the great state of Florida, the free state of Florida, which I recently visited, Senator Rick Scott. Good morning, Senator Scott. Welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Program.
Kurt, it's great to be with you. I hope you enjoyed your visit to Florida. It is a little hot right now, so October, November, December might have been a little bit better.
Oh, no, I love humidity. It's very good for my skin. So in any case,
hair curly.
Senator Scott, our people on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program are very in the weeds about the mechanics of winning. As the head of the NRSC, you are in charge of making sure we take back the Senate. Our people are concerned because the regime narrative is that we're in trouble in Georgia with Herschel Walker, that we're in trouble in Pennsylvania with Dr. Oz. What's the NRSC doing to ensure that we win those crucial Senate seats?
Well, Kurt, here's where we are. We have great candidates. We've got wonderful individuals that have gotten through their primaries. They're clearly focused on running good races and representing their state. If you look all over the country, especially all these states where we have competitive races, Biden's numbers are horrible. The Democratic agenda is not well received. People, it's shocking. People don't like high inflation. They don't like to defund the police. They don't like critical race theory. They don't like the fact that, you know, there was a raid on a former president's house, a potential opponent in 24 to the existing administration. So what we've got to do is, as long as we raise our money and we get our message out, I think we have every reason to believe that we can get a majority. Ron Johnson's got a tough race, but he's doing a great job. Mehmet Oz has a tough race. He's working hard. Ted Budd in North Carolina is working hard. Herschel Walker. Here's why I believe Herschel Walker is going to win. People like Herschel Walker. Herschel is well thought of in the state of Georgia. He's working really hard. I think, you know, Warnock has already spent something like $20 million, and the race is basically tied. Herschel just has his first add up. So he's running a good race. He's got a good team. As long as he continues to raise his money, then I think he's going to have a big win. I think we have a great chance of winning in Nevada, in Arizona, in New Hampshire. We've got great candidates, a little harder states, in Colorado, in the state of Washington. So if we great candidates, great environment, Biden's numbers are not getting better. We just got to raise our money.
Well, you know, Senator Scott, about money, and money's important, but my thought is there is a difference between matching your opponent, and the Democrats appear to be outraising us right now, and having enough money. That is, you either have enough or you don't. And money, you know, is money going to make John Fetterman any healthier or any less socialist? And I just don't think so. What are your thoughts about the fundraising game?
Kurt. Well, first off, anybody wants to help, you can text WIN to 55404, WIN 55404. I agree with you, Kurt. All it is, as long as we can define ourselves and our opponents and explain who they are. So as long as Mehmet Oz has the money to explain that you know, Fetterman is a socialist. I mean, he is Bernie Sanders or worse. He's never done anything. He wants to let criminals out of prison. He wants Medicare for all, which is going to ruin the Medicare program for anybody relying on a Medicare program. I mean, he has no idea that normal people, in my opinion, would say, oh, man, I'm excited that Fetterman would be my senator. Mehmet Oz is a hard worker, cares about this country, smart doctor. He'll be a great U.S. senator. And so as long as he has, you're right, enough money to get his message out, who he is and who Fetterman is, he'll win.
Dr. Oz is he's a rich guy. If he does not raise enough money, are you going to call Dr. Oz and say, hey, write yourself a check. You got in this. I expect you to do what it takes to win.
Well, we're going to invest, and we've already invested. But I know he's investing. I'm not sure the exact number, but it was a significant number he invested in this primary. He's invested in his general election. He is committed to winning. I was with him this weekend. He is a hard worker committed to winning, and he will invest. We're going to invest. I hope everybody that cares about that race help the NRSC or help Dr. Oz with the resources to be able to get his message out. But I agree with you, Kurt. We've got to raise enough to explain who these people are. You know, Fetterman, first off, lied about his health, wasn't even on the campaign trail for months. I'm sorry that he has health problems, but he lied about it. And that right there should be a disqualifying factor. But the worst thing is, I mean, he's going to be worse than Bernie Sanders. If you like Bernie Sanders, then he's your guy. But I don't think that's where Pennsylvania is.
Senator Rick Scott, before I get to the question of the FBI, which is burning up the call screen. People are very, very angry about this. I want to get your over and under. It looks to me like the Republicans could end up from anywhere from 48 to in a great, great, year, 56. I think the over and under is 52.5 for the Senate in January of 2023. What do you think?
As long as we raise our money, we're going to get a majority. I don't know if that'll be 51, 52, 53. I mean, you're right. We have great candidates. So if we have our money, I mean, we have a shot to pick up six states. But it all comes down to, enough money to get our message out. That's why I tell everybody, help these candidates. Or if you want to help us, it's text 55404, text WIN to 55404. Because if we have the resources, I think it's going to be a great year. People are mad. They're mad about inflation. They're mad about Afghanistan. They're mad about the border. They're mad about defunding the police. They're mad about this raid on Mar-a-Lago. So I think Republicans are going to show up and vote.
Senator Rick Scott, you mentioned the FBI raid. And I got to tell you, I've been in conservatism for going on 40 years. I don't think I've ever seen people as angry. At 3 a.m., my phone lines are lighting up with people furious about this outrageous misconduct by the FBI. But they're concerned. They're concerned that some of your colleagues don't get just how bad that this is, that they can go back to something like business as usual. Do your colleagues get the anger out here in America, as opposed to inside the Beltway?
I think so. I agree with you. This is really, really concerning to raid a prior president and a potential opponent in 24 by an administration that's known for going after parents and other political opponents. I mean, this is what they do. This is third world stuff, right? So I think Attorney General Garland and Director Wray, they have got, I mean, this is a significant issue. They've got to be transparent. They got to tell people exactly why they did it, what information they have, what were they going after, how is this a violation of the law? I think we need to have hearings on this. I've asked for a hearing along at Homeland Security. I've asked for way more transparency. I don't care if they want to give it to me in a classified setting. I want to know that this was not just a political vendetta against their prior president.
But, you know, Senator Scott, it is just a political vendetta against a prior president. They tried to frame him on the Russia collusion scandal.
Oh, I know.
Why should any American give the FBI and the Justice Department under Biden and Garland any benefit of the doubt after six years of absolute misconduct? Let me ask you, are people if we take the Senate majority, are the Republicans prepared to use the power of the purse to force reform or more upon the DOJ and FBI?
Well, Kurt, I think we should always fund our law enforcement, but we have to hold them accountable. I think the real key here is accountability. So, you know, we've got to hold, the FBI. I mean, all federal law enforcement agencies, we have to hold them accountable. We have to fund them. We have to hold them accountable. I think we can, and I think we will. I'm on the Homeland Security Committee. I'm committed to doing it. I know there's other individuals, Republicans on there that are committed. I'm disappointed that Democrats don't care about. I mean, the Democrats want to defund the police, and they don't care that there was a raid that no one has been able to explain on a prior president. What happens when the other, when Republicans are power? Is it going to be okay if we do an investigation? So we need to be transparent. They've lost public trust.
Thank you, Senator Rick Scott from the great state of Florida, the free state of Florida. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter. This is the Hugh Hewitt radio program. Stick around.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money. We're back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program, and that Hugh Hewitt radio program has sent you lawyers, guns, and money in the form of me, Kurt Schlichter, noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, retired United States Army colonel, senior columnist at Town Hall, author of that book behind me. Wrong side. We'll be back. The Fall and Rise of America. One of the great pleasures I have when I guest host for Hugh Hewitt is having one of my favorite commentators on, Byron York, Washington Examiner, chief political consultant. Byron, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt radio program.
Chief political correspondent, not consultant.
Oh, did I say consultant?
You said consultant.
Oh my gosh. I just say that is a deep insult because, well, consultants are garbage, and we're going to get to them in a minute. But I want to ask you, Byron York, chief political correspondent, I want to ask you, do the people in Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway, understand the seething cauldron of anger that exists over this raid? I've been in conservatism 40 years. I have never seen anything like it. It is deep, it is enduring, and it is heartfelt. People are furious about this raid.
The short answer is no, I don't think they do, because I think they see it like they saw the Trump-Russia investigation. These are some Democrats we're talking about, some in the media, some in law enforcement and intelligence. They never really accepted the idea that there really wasn't Trump-Russia collusion, even though they had a big, long special counsel investigation, which couldn't establish that it even happened. But I think we're really in kind of a replay, and this is a really bad thing, of the Trump-Russia affair from 2016, 17, 18, and 19. And all the sides and some of the players are exactly the same. And there's just this belief, certainly in media circles, that Trump must be guilty, just that there, just as there was a belief in 2017, 18, 19, that Trump must be guilty. And it's going from there.
Well, particularly among Republicans, Byron York, I have noted a number of them who don't know what time it is. They're saying things like, well, you know, we need to see all the facts. No, we don't. They tried to frame Trump before. They're trying to do it again. And the people, the Republican base, which is now highly energized, this is our Dobbs, are not going to tolerate we got to sit back and we need to trust the FBI. They want the FBI disbanded. They don't want it reformed. They don't want, you know, generic accountability. They want it gone and its functions parceled out to other places. I am very concerned that our folks in Washington do not understand how angry the base is. And if they don't deliver for the base, there's going to be trouble.
Yeah. And what we have is the situation that we had in those earlier years, in which the absence of facts allows crazy speculation to just flourish. All you have to do is, you know, watch Morning Joe or watch CNN or something. You'll see this incredible speculation going on. And what you're saying about the Republican base is that they look at the Mar-a-Lago raid, and it fits into a pattern that they saw from 2016 to 2019 about Trump Russia. Remember the Nunes memo? That was something that exposed the fact that the FBI had used the Steele dossier, which is a complete fabrication, had used it to actually spy on the Trump campaign. And the people who were fighting declassification of the information in the Nunes memo are the same people who are accusing Trump of stealing classified information today. This is a really depressing replay of what happened then. And I think that what you're saying about the Republican base is that they've seen this movie before and they just don't want to see it again.
Yeah, Byron York, I just don't imagine that the Republican base is going to tolerate a Republican Party that says, well, we're going to need to have another investigation and let's see how all the facts come out. No, we already know the facts. This is a fraud. My gosh, my mother was a judge and a district attorney. If a law enforcement agency had brought a warrant like that to my mother, oh boy, that would have gone poorly. And yet it's signed off by a federal magistrate. It's a travesty. Everyone in the base knows it. Boy, if the Republicans in Congress don't get it, they're going to feel the pain.
Yeah, I was just looking at the headline in this morning's Wall Street Journal. Merrick Garland weighed search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago for weeks. And you think to yourself, how urgent could it have been?
What a disgrace.
If Merrick Garland, you know, does this deliberation act for weeks before deciding to do it, is there dangerous? Is there dangerous classified material that would put lives and sources and methods at risk sitting down there in the open right
in her undies drawer?
Come on. Right next to the beach chairs at Mar-a-Lago, and it has to be seized?
Byron York, Washington Examiner, chief political correspondent. I could go all hour with you, and unfortunately we can't do that, but I'm looking forward to seeing you next time, I guess, goes for the great Hugh Hewitt. I'm Kurt Schlichter. Stick around. We got a lot more to come. This is Kurt Schlichter, and of course, Hugh's just kidding. I'm not leaving my clothes here. Of course, I don't even bring pants to the studio. Go commando. I am a senior columnist at townhall.com, the author of the new book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. You can see it behind me if you're watching Salem Now, which you should be. I am also a noted Los Angeles trial lawyer and a retired Army colonel, and I am very, very excited to have with us former acting attorney general Matthew Whitaker on the phone. And I saw you this weekend at an Adam Laxalt event in Nevada. Did you eat the delicacy, General Whitaker?
Yes, and I have the lapel button to prove it.
Now, of course, the delicacy is, how do I put it? It was a Basque cultural celebration, and the Basques fry up, how do I put it politely, the testicles of sheep. So
yeah, but first they're smashed and then deep fried. So
well, as long as they're smashed and fried, let's say, you know, it's like when I went to airborne school. I jumped out of the plane 5 times. I got my badge. I'm done. General Whitaker, let's get a little serious now. I took a look at the warrant that the FBI had a magistrate judge sign. My mother was a district attorney while I was growing up. She was a deputy district attorney. She was a judge in San Mateo, California. She did myriad warrants, including those on our kitchen table. And if one had come before her that said every document created since 2017 and any document nearby those documents could be swooped up, they would have been laughed out of mom's kitchen. What's your take on this?
Well, the whole situation, Kurt, is very troubling in many ways. And I think, you know, we can go so many different directions from the approval process of the Department of Justice all the way to, you know, the judge's review and signing of the search warrant. But to your point, the breadth of this search and the ability for the FBI to go into the former president's house, scoop up everything, and then I guess review it in hopes of finding something that supports their theory of a criminal case, should chill every American. And the fact that the left is silent when it's to their benefit politically tells you everything about the modern left. You know, the left is corrupt. They don't stand for the rule of law. They stand for the rule of power. And it is detrimental, not only, I mean, you've seen it in California already, but, you know, that version of, you know, woke liberalism is, you know, on the march and ascendant. And I know, you know, I plugged your new book, obviously, the, you know, the fall and rise of our great republic. And that's not the title, but you know, you know, we have to find people and find public servants that are honest brokers that will, you know, will call out abuses by the FBI, will call out, you know, quite frankly, abuses by politicians. But we're not there. There's no honest left.
Well, former Attorney General Matt Whitaker, I'm very concerned. I know that Jim Jordan from the House of Representatives has said there are 14 whistleblowers have come forward from the FBI, but the FBI's got 30,000-40,000 members. The fact is, I don't see the good apples. I see them going ahead and participating in some that is manifestly improper and unconstitutional. If you ask the base, and I have been asking the base today, what do we do with the FBI? The answer is defund and disband it. That's the answer, you know, hardcore conservative, law and order backing GOP base voters are coming up with. They believe it is absolutely irredeemable. And I think that's just a very bad place for it to be.
It is. It needs to be above reproach. And obviously they have really, since Jim Comey was the director, they have not been above reproach. I mean, although we can go back to sort of, you know, previous iconic FBI directors and see where they have lost their way from time to time as well. And, I think we need to use the language of the left as it relates to the FBI, and we need to reimagine the FBI. And it's going to take some brave souls, because there are, you know, in addition to having FBI agents, out in the country, out in the field, as they say, there's also FBI agents that every day are paid to lobby the Congress. There's probably 30 FBI agents that go up on a regular basis and establish relationships with members of Congress. And it is going to be very difficult. And there has to be some very brave representatives and senators that are willing to take on this charge. And like I said, reimagine the FBI. If it's going to be the premier law enforcement agency in the United States, then they need to live up to that standard. And right now, when you have them putting their thumb on the scale of politically charged investigations, that's you know, again, it's not sustainable, and it's going to do detrimental harm to our country.
Well, former Attorney General Whitaker, I think one of the basic problems is the actual design of the FBI, because it combines federal law enforcement, you know, bank robbers, mobsters, white collar criminals, with counterintelligence. And in many other countries, Israel, those are separate. You have the law enforcement in Shin Bet. In England, you have Scotland Yard to do the criminal part. You have MI5 to do counterterrorism, counterintelligence. By having those two together, I think it creates an almost irresistible current towards, you know, abuse and interference in the political system. What's your take on that? Could the FBI be divided up? Could its functions be divided up? Might that be a solution?
I think that I don't know if it's a solution. Here's my challenge with that, and I agree that those other countries have looked at, you know, the similar missions and don't have them combined. What I know about bureaucracies in the United States of America is if you know, it's like a hydra, right? You cut off one head and you divide it into two, and all of a sudden both of those claiming, you know, that they need to expand their mission and they need more money and resources. And pretty soon, you know, that the separated are bigger than the combined was. And so it would have to have some real guardrails about the size and growth and scope, you know. And don't forget, I mean, this is what I think a lot of people forget, is we have a lot of federal law enforcement out running around, and whether it was, you know, the drug enforcement arena or, quite frankly, just criminal investigations. You know, the Homeland Security, you know, HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, sort of is claiming, running around the country many times, saying that they're the new FBI, and they, you know, they have overlapping authorities with the FBI, and, you know, in reimagining federal law enforcement and making it work for the American people and not for their own interests, I think we'd have to bring in some, you know, look at how HSI and how DHS and how, quite frankly, all of the federal law enforcement is structured and given authorities to investigate crimes and to do the other important work on behalf of the American people.
Well, Attorney General Whitaker, I believe there's going to be a Republican administration in 2024, and I believe any president, whether it's Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or someone else who's not Nikki Haley, comes in, I think you would be right at the top of the list for attorney general. If you were nominated and confirmed, what immediate actions would you take? And we only have about 30 seconds.
Kurt, that is an enormous if. hypothetical question, and I don't know if 30 seconds does it. Plus, I don't want this played at my confirmation hearing. So that being said,
okay, let me pivot
really
then.
Enjoyed being with you today.
Let me pivot then. Do you have any interest in running for the Senate in your home state of Iowa, should a seat become open?
You're good at this job. You know, I love my home state of Iowa. I'm all there all the time, hanging out. I was at the fair, at the Field of Dreams game just last week.
Oh, you're already a politician. Thank you, Attorney General Matt Whitaker. This is Kurt Schlichter, guest hosting for the great Hugh Hewitt. We'll be right back. We're back on a Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm retired Colonel Kurt Schlichter, sitting in for the great Hugh Hewitt. I am a son of Ohio, and I'm proud to be joined by yet another son of Ohio, hopefully our next senator from the Buckeye State, and a former Marine himself, J.D. Vance. J.D., how are you today?
I'm great, Kurt. Thank you for playing the Marine Corps hymn for me. I appreciate it.
Well, look, it's always nice to honor the supporting service of the decisive American military force, the United States Army. But on a serious note, can you tell me what service your opponent Tim Ryan served in?
Well, he served in the career politician service where you get paid a lot of money for doing absolutely nothing.
Well, he has done something. He just hired 87,000 new IRS bureaucrats to harry and harass small business people and working folks in the state of Ohio. How's that going over there?
That's true. And also raising taxes by $20 billion on middle and working class Ohioans. By the way, Kurt, his main campaign promise is that he would push for a middle class tax cut. His party controls the Senate, the House, and the presidency, and all they got was a $20 billion tax increase, backed up, like you said, by 87,000 IRS agents who are going to harass people. The talking point here for the Democrats is these guys are only going to go after billionaires. But as you know, Kurt, there are about 800 billionaires, and we have plenty of IRS agents to go after the billionaires. These new agents are going to go after middle-class people. And even with the current IRS situation that we have, about 75%, as I understand, of the people who are audited tend to be middle class. So, the IRS is already a pretty broken organization, and they're just going to make it even worse.
J.D. Vance, there's a narrative out there that your race is in trouble. That Tim Ryan is surging, along with Grandpa Krusty and his aviator glasses. That the red wave is receding. Beware the blue wave. Are you seeing anything like that on the ground in Ohio as you campaign for the Senate?
No, I don't buy into this at all, Kurt. I mean, I was actually talking with Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, one of our great U.S. senators, a couple weeks ago. And he brought up that in polling in July and August, he was allegedly behind his Democratic opponent by anywhere between 13 and 18 points. and then on the day of the election, apparently he was still down by a few. And, of course, he won by 17 points. Donald Trump was behind Joe Biden in 2020. He won by the state of Ohio by 8 points. This is all just a media operation, I think, to try to suppress Republican enthusiasm. But it doesn't work because, our voters, independents, moderates, Republicans, even some conservative Democrats, they don't believe the media, and they're not going to believe their narrative of the race. And I think we're winning. I think we'll win by a big margin on November.
Well, J.D. Vance, money, of course, is key. Are the Democrats funding Tim Ryan, or are they kind of showing their hand by kind of withholding it and spending it in places that they have more hope for?
Well, the National Democrats certainly have poured a lot of money into this race. I mean, this is a consistent story. It's true in Pennsylvania, in Ohio. It's true in Arizona, Nevada. It's really true across the board, where the Democrats have built this incredible fundraising platform. And let me tell you, Kurt, this is in part a big tech problem. So let me just give you a statistic. For every 10 fundraising emails that I send, to 9 of those emails, you would expect to be filtered by the big tech email filters into people's junk boxes. For every fundraising email that Tim Ryan sends, you'd expect that to happen to one of his emails. So because of this, they're able to raise a ton of money in small dollar political contributions. And we certainly, if you want to go to jdvance.com and help us out, we got to make sure the National Democrats don't buy this race. If you ask me if I'm worried, the answer is no. The one advantage the Democrats do have, and they have it every cycle, but they have it here for sure, is they just have a ton of money from out-of-state donors, and we have to do something about that.
Well, one of the things that I have seen, J.D. Vance, as I've guest hosted for Hugh Hewitt for the last 2 days, is the incredible anger among the GOP base. I've never seen anything like it. I've been involved in politics for almost 40 years over this FBI raid. What is the feedback you're getting on the ground in Ohio about this travesty?
Well, Kurt, there's always been this debate the last year or so, as I've been out on the campaign trail between, I would say, among the Republican intelligentsia, should Trump run again? Should somebody else run again? And I'll say the last week, what I've heard from the actual grassroots is absolutely Trump should run again. People are so angry at this FBI raid. And I really don't think people appreciate how much this is united, even maybe some Trump skeptical people behind the president, because whether you love Trump or don't, recognize this is an unfair thing. You cannot send the leader of the Department of Justice, you cannot send the FBI after a president like this without telling the American people why. That's the big thing here. You're talking about the future opposition leader of the party, the likely opponent of the Democrats in 2024. and they're not even telling us why they've raided his home. What they're doing is selective leaking to their preferred media outlets, which, of course, as you know, Kurt, those guys have never been wrong before. They've never told.
The nuclear codes were hidden in Melania's bra drawer. Come on.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was, 2 days ago? Yesterday, yeah, we had the, we don't have the president's passports. And then a couple hours later, it's like, here are your passports. I mean, it's outrageous. But I think the point is the base is outraged. And when you get to the Senate, because you are going to beat Tim Ryan, the fake moderate, when you do get to the Senate, you're going to have to face the decision about what to do about the FBI. And I see a lot of Republicans go, well, you know, we got to wait to see how things shake out. And, you know, I'm not sure really we got to demand accountability. It's a lot of platitudes. But I think we need action. I think the base is going to demand action. What do you think we should actually do as opposed to somehow reinforce the false notion that these people are not political players?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to recognize who our voters are. And you know, these are people who, in the midst of an inflation crisis, are ponying up what spare resources they have so that we can run TV ads. I mean, if we do take back the Senate, I think we will. It will be because a lot of our grassroots activists kept faith. And to me, they're calling for what is an obvious reality, which is investigate the leadership of the FBI, investigate the leadership of the DOJ. We know that these guys have engaged. That's inside the Trump stuff. We know that Merrick Garland ordered these guys to go after parents who are protesting at school board meetings. There's enough here to actually do some real oversight, which is one of Congress's most important constitutional prerogatives. We should use that oversight power and actually figure out what's going on. And if there's criminal activity, we should make sure that stuff gets prosecuted. I really think that we have to stop saying, hey, wait, let's wait and see. You can wait and see through the process of an investigation. But if you're not doing the investigation, wait and see is just a slogan to avoid dealing with the real substance.
Well, J.D. Vance, I think you're onto something with the base, because the base has already seen. We've seen an attempt to frame the president through the Russiagate thing. We saw someone convicted of lying on a warrant against a Trump associate. It is not open to question that they are trying to manufacture a solution to the Trump problem that doesn't involve them not engaging in politics that suck. They are going outside the Constitution, and I think it's very dangerous, and I think our folks are going to demand action. But there are a lot of Republicans who kind of want to go along, get along. How you're going to Washington, you are expressly not a go-along, get-along guy. How are you going to deal with the pressure to conform and to, quote unquote, trust the system?
Well, I think you have to put pressure in the other direction. And I think that when people make the argument that you trust the system, well, part of the system is Congress providing its constitutionally determined oversight, right? That's one of the main ways the system actually works. And I think for a lot of these guys who are saying, well, you know, let's just sort of let the process play out. If by the process you mean selective leaks to the media where we don't actually learn anything, that's not the process playing out. That's corruption. The process playing out is us actually doing our job when we take back power in 2022.
Love to hear that. J.D. Vance, you know, it's there are a lot of challenges facing the Republicans coming into the Senate. I think we are going to take the Senate. This 87,000 IRS agents issue is a real problem, and the base is going to demand action. Will you ever vote for a bill that funds these 87,000 new IRS pests?
No, absolutely not. And I think there's actually, as bad as this bill is, the one silver lining is that so much of this stuff is going to take effect in the next 10 years, in the next couple of years is where it really starts, but it doesn't finish taking effect. I think if we take back the House and the Senate and actually stand tall on this stuff, we could undo a lot of damage from the, you know, Inflation Corruption Act, which I'm going to stop calling it the Inflation Reduction Act. It's just too much
IRS Expansion Act.
Yeah, the IRS, whatever we're going to call it here.
Rich guy electric car subsidy.
That's right. I think there's a lot that we can do to push back on this stuff, but we got to get there, and we need people's help to do it. And then we also obviously have to think about 24 and make sure that hopefully we have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and then a Republican president. Because the one big thing you really need a president on is this crisis at the border. We can make Joe Biden's life harder for not enforcing the border. And by the way, this is the most shameless thing that he and Tim Ryan have done is allow these communities in Ohio, you know, these allegedly Tim Ryan's home, let these communities be flooded with fentanyl and sex trafficking.
Completely, it's outrageous.
And we got to do something about it. And so we're going to make Joe Biden's life harder, but some of this stuff is going to be a lot easier the more and more we gain control.
Well, J.D. Vance running for the Senate in Ohio. Good luck to you. Real quick, about 5 seconds, how do we help you?
JDVance.com. Go there, support us, offer to volunteer. That's what we need. Thanks, Kirk.
Thank you, J.D. We're back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter, closing it out for Hugh Hewitt. But we're ending on a high note with one of my favorite people when I guest host. It is Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. And I'd like to welcome you to the Hugh Hewitt program. And I'm going to be in your state when I do Huckabee this Friday, and I'm staying the weekend.
Well, good for you. You're going to meet some of the nicest people, eat some of the best food, and you're going to have a great time.
Well, I am always excited to leave California and visit the United States of America. Senator Blackburn, your constituent, I've talked to a number of your constituents today. Everybody's very, very concerned about this IRS thing and about the FBI. And I know you've been out talking to the people of Tennessee about these very issues. What kind of feedback are you getting from your voters?
People are, as you said, just really upset about this issue with the IRS. They are upset about the raid at Mar-a-Lago. They don't understand why you would do this to a former president. And they find it very odd that what has transpired is that President Biden has been on vacation during all of this, really hasn't had anything to say. And they don't like, people don't like two tiers of justice. They want one standard, equal access, equal treatment, equal justice for all.
Well, Senator Blackburn, you know, I think it's very likely that we are going to take back. I mean, it's almost certain we take back the House. I think it's very, very likely that we take back the Senate in November. When the Republicans have the Senate, what are we going to do about this stuff and the out of control Joe Biden administration?
And, you know, I think that one of the things we have to do is start taking control of the federal purse, because that is all taxpayer dollars. And we need to freeze federal spending, freeze federal hiring, and freeze federal employment. Just get it all to the point that we can say stop. And then we need to aggressively work on government reform initiatives and begin to look at these departments. Take, for instance, the VA. The VA has a 168,000 backlog in their cases, 168,000 cases that are backlogged. These are veterans who are waiting for health care and benefit decisions. Now, that's not right. And no veteran should be suffering through that. So let's say, okay, why is that happening? Why is the VA not doing that? How can we remedy this? Why do we have so many employees that are working for the U.S. Department of Education, but really aren't looking at how the policies and decisions they make affect children in the classroom? And they're making policies of convenience, or because the teachers union says this works, let's reform, begin to reform and do the proper oversight in these departments. And I honestly think that is item number one, step number one. pass these reforms and send them to Biden's desk. But as I said, to get the process started, let's freeze the spending, freeze salaries, freeze the hiring, so that you're not making the problem worse. I don't know anybody. I've not met a single person that thinks it's a good idea to have 87,000 new IRS agents when we cannot get people hired to work on the southern border. I've not met anybody that says, oh, I think it's a great idea to have more people working remotely for the federal government when the federal government cannot respond to people now, whether it's the IRS, whether it is the VA, whether it's the EPA. They're all working remotely, which many times means working part-time.
Well, Senator Blackburn, I love to hear all that. You, of course, are one of my favorite guests here when I guest host for the Gray Hugh Hewitt. Real quick, let me ask you one question. Would you consider coming to California and being my senator?
Absolutely not.
Thank you very much, Martha Blackburn, from the great state of Tennessee. I'm Kurt Schlichter. Adam, Jacob, and Dwayne, thank you all for helping me make this two-day stand here at the Hugh Hewitt Program the smashing success it was. I'm Kurt Schlichter. Adios. I can't wait. I need to wait.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.